Audacity. A two-island country awaits the debate on a motion of no confidence. I am Ken Richards, and this is the Caribbean News Roundup. The ongoing political drama in St. Kitts and Nevis continues to fester. The Governor General has cleared the air on the question of whether he has the constitutional right to remove the sitting Prime Minister and appoint another. He does not, he informed PAM and CCM based on their request. The move now being awaited is how soon the motion of no confidence initiated by these two partners of the Team Unity Coalition will be heard, or even if it will actually be heard. That is the focus of the debate on local radio stations in Basse-Terre, with the latest BVI motion of no confidence used as an example for the arguments. The voices in this audio clip are those of Dr. Patrick Martin on Freedom FM and Attorney Chesley Hamilton on Win FM.
A motion of no confidence in the government was filed, debated, and approved in one day. So the new speaker of the BVI House of Assembly is not messing around.
Yeah.
No dithering, no delay. And there was no requirement. There is no requirement in the BVI Constitution or the law for a motion of no confidence to be filed by Her Majesty's loyal opposition. Yeah. Subject to the provisions of this act and the standing orders of the National Assembly, this is our act now, any member may introduce any bill or propose any motion for debate in or may petition or present any petition to the National Assembly, and the same shall be debated and disposed of according to the standing orders of the National Assembly. Right. Any member.
And therefore, once it is filed properly, then the time begins to tick away. If people want to subvert the will of the people, they will find any excuse so to do. Mm-hmm. And therefore, and to say whether something is properly filed or it's not properly filed and all of that, the House has the right to correct or amend its own rules or anything before it. So all of those things can be corrected even if they are poorly or badly filed. So I'm not even paying any mind to these shenanigans. People are grabbing at straws right now. And why are they grabbing at straws? To prop up a puppet dictator. That's all it is. To prop up somebody who is illegitimate. Anybody with the right moral compass. Okay? Would, as Prime Minister, in these circumstances, you do not have the support of the majority of your cabinet. You do not have the support of the majority of the elected members in Parliament. The proper thing to do is to stop, frustrate the will of the people and resign. That's the proper thing to do. Let the country go on. The country is not subjected to you and your wishes. That is how it should be. But no, everybody's going to grab at straw. And when people like that behave with malfeasance and mal behavior, you praise it up because badness is charisma, and badness is what you're applauding. And I'm basically saying we cannot continue in an exercise of decadence.
Also available is a comprehensive report on the subject by Andrew Huey of Voice of the Caribbean. Here is the report dubbed Experts Argue on the Status of the Motion of No Confidence.
As the 21 days deadline for the motion of no confidence filed against the Prime Minister continues to elapse, there has been much consternation in some circles as to why the motion has not been brought to Parliament as yet. A letter circulating on social media purporting to be a response from the Speaker of the House, Michael Perkins, to the filers of the motion is that he is seeking legal advice on the matter. That has been over a week ago. Still no answer as to when the motion would be heard. Former leader of government business and parliamentarian Sam Conder said there should be no delay in having the motion presented before Parliament.
Where it makes it easier is that the act, which gave a time limit on the debating the motion of no confidence, it was passed on the speaker, the present speaker, in 2019. which says in 21 days, once a motion, because that was the standoff in 2013, 2015, that the government was not taking the motion of no confidence to parliament. And so one of the things that Team Unity did when they got to office was to introduce a time limit. And that time limit says that in 21 days, once a motion of no confidence is filed, in 21 days, it should be heard and debated in parliament.
Social activist and former government minister Dwayne Astafan argues in his latest commentary that there is a school of thought that suggests that the filers of the motion, who are members of cabinet, must first resign before filing a motion against the administration.
There is a view that it would be at best awkward and at worst unacceptable for cabinet ministers to be signatories to a motion of no confidence against an administration of which they are members. People who hold that view think that these six gentlemen should have first resigned from cabinet. Why didn't they sign a formal group resignation letter before their letter to the GG, address their resignation letter to the Prime Minister, enclose a copy of that letter to the GG, and then inform the country accordingly? Wouldn't that have removed any doubts and potential delays?
But Mr. Condor posits that based on the National Assembly Elections Act, any member of parliament can file a motion of no confidence.
I'm advising you to look at section of the National Election Ordinance, National Election Act, with section 20, subsection 1, which says that any member of parliament, minister or not, because all ministers of government are members of parliament, and it says any member of parliament could bring a motion to the parliament.
According to Section 20, Part 1 of the National Assembly Elections Act, any member may introduce any bill or propose any motion for debate in or may present any petition to the National Assembly, and the same shall be debated and disposed of according to the standing orders of the National Assembly. In this instance, the standing order relating to the motion of no confidence would be the Motion of No Confidence Act, passed in 2019. In Section 3 of this Act, it says where a question of no confidence in the government is brought before the National Assembly in accordance with the provisions of the Constitution and the National Assembly Elections Act, the question of no confidence shall be determined by resolution of the National Assembly within a period not exceeding 21 days. There is no mention in either Act on whether the parliamentarian must be a member of government or an opposition member. The country awaits the outcome. I'm Andre Huey for SKN Newsline.
He says this past week saw the emergence of what can only be described as double trouble for many of the, quote, corrupt national leaders in the Eastern Caribbean states, end quote. On one of his latest financial crime blogs, Kenneth Ridgeock cites first information about an offer to cooperate coming from the newly arrested and now former Premier of the British Virgin Islands, Andrew Foy, regarding his testimony against other corrupt Eastern Caribbean leaders. Ridgeock also points to the extradition to the United States of the most important Colombian drug kingpin to be arrested in decades and who has already started cooperating with Colombian law enforcement. According to Ridgeock, this has raised the presumption that he will now assist U.S. law enforcement, especially regarding those Caribbean officials, quote, who assist his cocaine shipments reach North America, end quote. In one of his latest blogs, Kenneth Ridgeock suggests that these two matters will result in the United States acquiring sufficient evidence and testimony to indict a number of East Caribbean leaders whose corrupt activities, he says, richly deserve long term of confinement in American prisons. He says while most of these leaders have operated with impunity due to lack of sufficient evidence to sustain convictions in federal courtrooms in Miami and New York, it is obvious that these two cooperating individuals will now most likely allow the United States to obtain the convictions of key leaders in the region at the ministerial level, including prime ministers. Kenneth Ridgeock predicts that national leaders in the five Eastern Caribbean states that offer CBI economic passport programs, St. Kitts and Nevis, Antigua and Barbuda, Dominica, St. Lucia and Grenada, jurisdictions where corruption is allegedly the rule rather than the exception, should be considered the primary target.
My own information from my sources is that his representatives are already looking to make a deal. he may be telling his constituents in the BVI that he's innocent, that he's going to fight it, that with God's help he's going to be exonerated. But that's not happening here. So his representatives have already made overtures that he's interested in cooperating with the U.S. government, and he has things to offer. And it includes information dealing with the guilt of leaders of other Caribbean states and countries. Obviously, he's talking about corruption, narcotics, or financial crime, and that he's willing to offer that for the purposes of getting his sentence reduced so he doesn't have to spend the rest of his natural life in an American prison. Now, although nobody is yet publicly talking about who he's talking about, so I'll let you people connect the dots, but frankly, nobody's saying who he's talking about, but I certainly have a strong suspicion as to who is included in that list. I can tell you that since I have published that article, that I have gotten a huge amount of hits from all over the East Caribbean, from all of the five countries that hold citizenship by investment programs.
Meanwhile, in an update, the financial crime blogger says, quote, "We advised that there are several Caribbean officials and leaders whose names have already been disclosed. We are withholding the release of those we cannot confirm, pending verification." End quote. Jamaica's Foreign Affairs Minister, Kamena Johnson-Smith, has rebuffed the call for her to end her bid for the Commonwealth Secretary General position, saying it will never happen. Last month, incumbent Commonwealth Secretary General Dominica-born Baroness Patricia Scotland urged her to reconsider running, arguing that there is no vacancy. But responding to questions on Friday, Mrs. Johnson-Smith made it clear to Radio Jamaica that there was no way she would drop out of the race.
That won't be happening. That will not happen. That will never happen. Okay. Making sure that we make the connection physically. It's one thing to have spoken to persons who virtually who would normally have met in ACP and other fora, but it's another thing to meet face-to-face. So I'll be meeting with my counterpart foreign ministers as well as heads of government. So I'm very much looking forward to it on the continent.
And now, focusing on the sexual offences bill in part of Spain, here's OSA's Roy Sanford.
Trinidad and Tobago has passed amendments to a sexual offences bill which will ensure the Commission of Police update the country's public sex offenders website within 3 days of receiving information about a registered sex offender from an investigating police officer. Speaking during the debate on the Sexual Offences Amendment Bill 2021 in the House of Representatives on Friday, Attorney General Reginald Amor reminded lawmakers that all laws are guided by the cultural, political, and social conditions of the society which they intended to operate in and to regulate, adding that the laws do not operate in a vacuum, according to a report by the Trinidad and Tobago Newsday. The Dominica-born attorney said, "Trinidad has been placing great constitutional importance on sexual offenses going as far back as 1986, when then Prime Minister George Chambers and then opposition leader Bas Diopande agreed to have it passed." He said this showed that the entire society was committed to tackling societal ills such as sexual offenses and to, quote, "bring predators to account."
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Monday, 9th May. I am Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.